We're talking about the kinds of practices that help you to integrate peak experience in your life. And of course, an amazing practice is the practice of music. If there's an experience that's very meaningful to you, and you catch the wave of it, you can ask yourself, what reminds me of this? And in this way, it's like highlighting, using one of those yellow highlighters. So you pick some, you find the music, or you find, ask yourself, well, what's the lighting like now? Where am I standing? What am I doing? And in that way, you are highlighting that moment. Then you can go back and say, okay, how did this happen? I was sitting with Pirzia, and he was talking about something. I wasn't quite sure what it all was about, but then he gave us this practice. And I found that as I said these words, I realized, oh, I am a part of the divine. Not just a part of it, but I'm a participating aspect of it. And so in that way, you not only highlight it with sound, you highlight it with your mind, with your memory. And isn't it interesting that he did the practice he did this morning, not just for the body, but also for the mind. So I just want to repeat that practice again for those people here who are thinking, well, really the problem is my mind. It just kind of takes off like a horse racing down the track. I know I want to have an experience, but my mind is busy. It keeps detaching from the practice and moving into something else. So you might use this practice. And I want to remind us again, we're in day three. So if you're, who's here for the first time? Okay, so as a reminder, when you are, well, I'll give the reminder, then we'll do next. As a reminder, before you do any practice, go to the breath and remind yourself, every time I breathe in, I'm breathing in the very life of God, the very life of the universe, the very life of the wholeness, the life of the source, not air, not something traveling through a tube coming into you that's called life and light, but the very life of the beloved. And so you turn to the very life of God, letting it come into your being, and then when you start the practice, you've already opened your being. If you are a person that attunes more to the ideal, to the divine qualities, to the master saints and prophets, to the one, then I also want to encourage you to open yourself to that stream, to the life of those. So then, if you are a person who attunes more, it makes more sense to you to say, yes, it's the whole of nature. It's the all the elements, it's the planets, it's the galaxies, it's the very universe, and it's the source of the universe. Then open yourself to that. Then do the practice. And in that way, you let a much greater transformation come into your being. So the practice this morning had two aspects. The first was the phrase, the only do we worship, to thee alone do we aspire, right? And when you say thee only do we worship, if you are thinking about something that makes no sense to you, it will not work. If you're assuming you're talking to some guy with a long white beard and a staff that smites people, you may not have a very transformative experience, right? It may even be kind of demeaning. But if you're speaking to that which is your name for that wholeness, whether it be God or Source or the One or something else, Creator, whatever it is, then you have linked into that, to that which we're talking about. So I'm circling back around to the first day when I said, it's important to have a personal relationship with the divine. And I say that as a person who has never seen God as anything other than the universe. It's my earliest upbringing. So you can have a personal relationship whatever with whatever that is. So we do the practice, first turning to that. Then when we say, thee only do we worship, and we have this already open place, you're just saying here, fill the cup. And when you raise up, thee alone do we aspire, you're letting yourself be held by something, be embraced, be connected. Why am I emphasizing this at a time that we're talking about the how to make these peak experiences more adamant in you? It's because you can turn back to this practice when you're wondering, how do I connect again? How do I have this experience? You cannot go back. You must go forward. So open the door. And then be willing to experience whatever's there. And if you experience nothing, if it's so subtle that it hasn't touched your conscious mind, trust that it has touched your unconscious. And it's now filtering up, filtering into clarity. Am I making sense? And yes. Oh yeah. Sure, because let me say this. It's happened that it's taken a very long time for me to understand what I already know. I'll give you an example. So I was doing the Raphaelite training with Hamayat. We people in Seattle were his experiment. We were very slow. It took us 10 years to do what everyone else did in 3 or 4. And he was talking about the life and light of God. And I could get the life part, you know, because it's all around me. But the light of God, I never got light. At that time, light meant nothing to me. And so I finally one day got very frustrated with this life and light business, and because we all felt quite free to complain. I said, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said to me, well, why don't you just breathe? Now, mind you, we'd been doing this practice for years at that point. It took me years to make myself brave enough to ask the question. We had been doing this for years, and he asked me, well, why don't you breathe right now and tell me what you experience? So I said, well, I experience, magnetism and energy, and I experience like something like the breeze. And he said, well, tell me a little bit more about that. And as I started to describe it, I had this revelation of what light is. It wasn't what I thought it was. I had been experiencing it all the time, but I hadn't, grokked it in fullness. It hadn't revealed. It wasn't a revelation. And it opened a universe to me that I was brave enough to ask that question. But mind you, I had been on the path for decades and had for decades did not understand what it seemed to me everyone understood as the most basic thing. I really encourage everyone to ask the dumb question. It's the doorway to truth. Yeah. Yes. It's like a motto. Put it on the bathroom mirror. Ask the dumb question. Okay. So do we want to do that practice again, or should we go on? Let's do it. Okay. We'll do each one three times. First, the bowing, and then the yamabul yamaksud. Okay.
Can you go over that one? I wasn't sure of the second one.
Yes, it's maksud. I looked it up because I wasn't sure of its meaning. And the meaning is to reconnect. You know what? I may not remember the meaning, but it made a lot of sense. Makbul. It's like to... I am going to spell... No, I can't. Does anyone want to spell those? Yes. Oh, he did? Well, then, but maybe what I have is right. M-A-B-U-L?
M-A-H.
M-A-H-B-U-L. Thank you, Hakka. And M-A-Q-S-U-D? Right? Okay. B.
What
we're hearing over here is M-A-H-B-U-D. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Great. This is good that we're checking so that we go home and we don't say the wrong thing. Yeah, I'm going to have to look it up again later. Sorry, guys. I'll have it tomorrow if you don't have it. So today we're following the sounds because we're not convinced that we know the definition, which is good enough. Okay, so opening yourself in the way that's right to you, connecting to the divine, use the word or the experience that's right for you. Open yourself. Be willing to receive. Let there be space for something to come in. Turning towards that source of hope, that source of love, that source of beauty, that source of that which you yearn for. And bowing down, the only do we worship. Rising toward thee alone do we aspire. The only do we worship. Toward thee alone do we aspire. Once more, the only do we worship. Toward thee alone do we aspire. And let yourself receive a blessing, a touch of grace. And now we'll say Ya Mahbud, Ya Maksud. Ya Mahbud, Ya Maksud, Ya Mahbud, Ya Maksud, Ya Mahbud, Ya Maksud. Letting the sound vibrate in your being, like tuning an instrument, tuning your very heart and soul. That you may receive. And for those who, at the end of doing a practice, sometimes find that there's just some place that comes to the surface in you, a feeling of discomfort or unhappiness or something else, if this isn't you, ignore me right now. At that time, after doing the practice, you can imagine that you are at the divine altar and lift that up and give it over to God for healing. This includes the little things, the things on your mind, the places in your body that are too difficult to look at, world situations. We'll take a moment for those of you who feel inclined to do that. Amen. Any questions about this process of allowing your practices to also be a transformative experience for the body and the mind? Yes. Yes, thank you for that. Yeah. It's interesting that the way the beloved, the way God, the way the divine, the way the wholeness gets our attention so that we can look at the next step in our evolution is through discomfort. Maybe that's why Murshid said, pain is my pleasure. That's what I've come to in the end, is that in the reality of everyday life, it's those places of pain that prove to be the doorways, often. And so one way to deal with that is to give it over, especially if it's just too much for you right now. If you feel overwhelmed, if you feel like even doing practices are too much, then when you go to sleep at night or you take a rest or you go to sit quietly, then take that physically, pick it up and put it over. It's one of the reasons we have an altar, but you can just give it over to the divine hands. Another way to deal with that is by being present to that location where you feel the discomfort. If it's something of the mind, you can ask yourself, where do I feel this in my body? If it's something physical, structural, you know right where to go. And you just turn to that, again, connecting with that source. And step aside, just move over a little bit, letting that flow of grace touch the place that hurts. I find that often these things that cause great stress are rooted in something from long ago. It's generally not always. Sometimes you just have so much going on in your life, it's hard to let go of worrying. Sometimes things just come up and you have a charge about something, you have no idea why. Typically that's rooted in the past. This practice of presence works for those things also, as another item on your menu of how do I deal with my stuff. Did you want to add anything to that? Okay. We've had a special request to go over a practice for people that want to heal their ancestry, their genetic past. This is a practice that Pure Vilayat gave me at one point, so I'm going to share it with you. If you feel that you are carrying the burden of centuries of your ancestors going backwards, that can be healed. And so the way I was given this practice is to imagine that there's a timeline in front of you. It's a few inches in front of your face. And it goes from way in the history, which is off to the left, up to the present, which is right in front of you. And you can start anywhere you want along the timeline. Personally, I started at conception. So I can't tell you what happens if you start before conception, but I started there. And what he said is to just move slowly along the timeline, and every time you get to a place that gets your attention, you stop. And you do the practice. Yakadam. Yakahar. Yakayum. And I found that doing it as a healing practice was helpful, given that I wanted to heal my history, my genetic history going back through time.
Could you repeat those, please?
Yes. So the three wasayif are Yakadam, QADM, Yakahar, Yakayum, QAYYUM. And you do it as a zikr. So you say Yakadam and you imagine that you're gathering, you're resting in a universe that's safe and peaceful and whole. And then at Kahar, it's almost like you let the source of healing, like the divine doctor, work on this place. And Ya Qayyum, it's, and so be it, it's happening. And so it's like a taking a remedy. And you just do it until either you're tired of doing it or somehow it feels like you can move on. This, for me, was a practice that took a lot of patience. It took easily 9 months to get from conception to birth for me. 9 months of doing this practice every day. And it took a couple years for me to get to the point that I was 2 years old. After that, it was clear sailing. So I'm just saying for you, be patient. If you start doing this practice and you feel like there are things in your genetic history that are affecting you today from your ancestors, this is a practice that you can do. Yes? Yes, cultural trauma, personal trauma, ancestral trauma.
And so if you're aware of that, not a matter of, you know, right or wrong, but my inclination or question is, would you start before your conception? Because
yes, you can. Yes, you can. You have to make a decision. You know, I can only speak for myself. For me, before my birth was so traumatic, at that point in my life, I was unable to accept that it was there. I never really thought about it. So I started at conception and that went well. I mean, you know, there was plenty to do. And what I found was it healed my relationship with my family, with my parents. All of a sudden, after, mind you, 2 years of doing this practice, so it wasn't that all of a sudden, I had a great relationship. Things that bothered me before were gone, and it seemed to somehow heal them. And Pirvalayat said to me, he said, as you heal yourself, you will be healing all of them. And so my experience was that my living relatives were healed from this. It made a big difference in my life and theirs. And so I trust that it did heal back through time. I started where I could think about. Now I can think about what happened before my birth and I can accept it and I can kind of let it all be there and know my genetic past and all of that stuff. And is it okay? It's all right. It's what happened. It brought my whole genetic line to the point that I can sit here and talk about this in this moment. Yes. Yes, it's more the location on the timeline than the actual event. Thank you for asking. He was very clear not to worry about what was what, not to try to understand. He said, just go along the timeline, and every time you get to a place where there's that you need to stop, stop. Yes, yes. Yes. It's quite likely it will. Again, not events, just do the timeline. Not having an agenda. Really, do the timeline without any agenda, without anything. Just because the reason to do this is because you know that somehow your genetic history is affecting your transformative process at this time. Yes. Is this interesting to people? Do you want another practice for this? Okay, and then we'll go on. So the other practice that he gave me, you can see I had issues. So the other practice that he gave me was one he gave everyone, and that was this kasab to heal the past and transform it and also open the gates to blessing in the future. Is there anyone here that doesn't know what kasab is? Okay. So kasab is a form of breathing where it's like alternate nostril breathing. Okay? Yeah. And in this case, again, we're going to the left towards the past and to the right towards the future. You take a long breath out the left. I'm going to describe it, then we'll do it. As you breathe in, you're knowing that everything can be healed. You pause, and again, as always, there's this theme in our practices that at the pause, you are connecting, you're linking in, you're turning and opening yourself to the divine. Then as you breathe out to the right, you know that the pull of the future is stronger than the push of the past, than anything that ever happened to you in the past. You breathe in from the right, realizing that is a healing influence to you right now. You pause again, connecting to the divine, and then as you breathe out to the left, you let that flow of healing, that knowledge, that what you are breathing is much stronger than anything that could ever have happened to you in the past, flow out to the left. And then as you breathe in from the left, you realize that somehow this has transformed your past. Yeah. Now we'll do it. I will. Yeah.
Eyeballs and tongue.
Say again?
Eyeballs and tongue.
Eyeballs and tongue. Yeah, you can roll your eyes up if it's helpful and put your tongue to the roof of your mouth if it's helpful. Yes. So we're doing this kasab, alternate nostril breathing. Start always with a breath out to the left, a nice long breath out. Breathing in, knowing that somehow as you do this practice, it's going to be useful. Holding, connecting to the divine. Breathing out to the right, knowing that the pull of the future is stronger than anything that's ever happened in the past. That divine breath is flowing into the future. You breathe in, feeling that somehow this is working. Holding, reconnecting to the divine. Breathing out the left and realizing that somehow this breath is healing the past. It's flowing back through time, maybe through generations, a healing influence. You breathe in the left and realize that it's working. Holding, connecting with the beloved, the divine, opening yourself to healing. breathing out to the right, towards the future, knowing that this is stronger than anything that could have happened in the past. Clearing the way. Breathing in the right. Realizing this is healing. It's even healing the present. Holding. Breathing out to the left. Allowing this to heal your past back through the centuries. And coming back to your center. Connecting once more to the divine in gratitude. Feeling your feet on the floor, your spine, your heart, and opening your eyes. Somehow, this has changed me. Somehow, it's working. Yes, we pause after each inhale to link into the wholeness, to reconnect with the source of all love and grace and healing and possibility. And if there's something that you know you need to connect with, all of that too. Yes?
Is it the same practice if you go in left, out right, do that three times and then reverse and go right, out left, three times?
Right. I don't know, because I haven't tried it that way. The way it was given is the way I described it, but you can give it a go, and if you feel like I need to do it this other way for it to work better, then try it. Yeah, just do it in a balanced way. Yeah, just do it in a balanced way.
That was only because that's how
you heard it. Isn't life grand? Yeah, so maybe it was offered that way too. Yeah. Okay. Any questions about this? So why am I offering all these practices that clear away baggage? The reason is, when you clear away your baggage, you're making space. When you make space, there's room for something else to come in. And if you're doing the practices, the something that's going to come in or unfold or reveal itself will be something in harmony with the wholeness of your being. Pirzia talks about the insan kamal, the creation of the perfect human. So you can consider yourself an artist. The artist of you. Huh?
I know physically I have this side is because I fall down as a child or something, this septum is deviated.
Yes.
I cannot breathe out. I know that there is a blockage, so it is not as open as this side.
Huh. So what do you do to feel a balance on right and left? What do you do?
I just noticed that it's harder for me to breathe in from there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I've done when my nose is stuffed. I imagine that even if the air is not coming in, the energy is. Even if the air isn't coming in, the energy is. Yeah, and then you breathe in the way that works for you, letting that life force, the divine life and light and hope and healing, you know, come in. Yeah. Anything else?
Sometimes I have a problem with that. I use my finger to pull the skin away from the nose, and that allows my head to move in. You may not work with me, but you can. I mean, you get enough of that.
Oh, that's a good trick. Yeah, so I'm going to say that just in case there's somebody that gets this tape that needs to know if you have a deviated septum and it's hard for the air to come in, if you pull the skin away a little bit from the nose, that it sometimes opens the passage just enough that you feel like you can breathe. You can. Ah. Okay. Super. Okay, so let's just pause and of the things that we have been hearing so far in the time that we've been together, let's highlight those things that were useful. So this is the part where you speak. What have you heard so far that was useful? Because that will help all of us. Not just today, but from the time that we've come together.
Say that I'm noticing the light on the trees behind you as you have given us the practices, and that's how I will remember them and the energy and the atmosphere of today. Thank you.
I appreciated how gentle the timeline work is. I have done a tremendous amount of work on myself for childhood trauma. And when I began my work, it would take me to a place of wanting to vomit. And so that was not gentle and very difficult and almost caused me to stop my healing journey. So I think that this was a very wise way to begin healing with someone or on ourselves. So thank you for that.
I found it helpful. You're working with the breath, and of which I have been very interested for ages. So any tricks that help me be more and more conscious of my breath, I listen closely to, and I found your emphasis on not air coming in, but the life force. And so that has given me a new little focus to inspire me to be aware of more breaths.
We did this, I think, both the first day and the second day, the zikr of self-acceptance. And I can see this being useful throughout my whole journey because myself keeps changing, and what I need to accept about myself keeps changing, so I can keep doing this, and it's going to be useful for many years to come.
I wanted to thank you for writing down and representing the practices from this morning. They're just so helpful. I mean, it was such a sweep away with, you know, the first part of that practice, that when he came in with Mahbud and Maksud, it was kind of, what happened to the first part? You know, so going over it again was really helpful. So it doesn't feel like a repetition. It feels like a deepening when you do that. So thank you.
I really liked the attention you're bringing to let us reflect on what touches us, what builds an attunement, that we don't have to create it out of nothing, but to be able to attend and be aware of those moments when we feel attuned and notice what's happening around us, what do we hear, what do we see, you know, what are the fragrances? so that we can use those in the future to bring us back to that place.
Yes, and of course these memories are memories, and so they're things of the mind, right? And yet they are act as like a catapult. It's like, oh, I remember sitting on the this happened when I was in 18, maybe 19. So I was living in a tent on Martha's Vineyard off the coast of Massachusetts, and I went to Gay Head, which is like this cliff looking off to the sunset, and the sun was going down, and we were sitting on the cliff, and there was this moment that all the colors changed. And I felt like I was those colors. And I remember now those moments and sitting there and the feel of the air and the salt in it and the lighting. And my whole body releases. And I'm just back there in that moment of communion with the sunset. And so at the end is when to catch it, like while it's still fresh. And don't expect to go back to what happened then. Experience it as you are now. So the point that I'd like to make is that the clearer you are, and the more grounded you are, the clearer your experience will be, and the more powerful and integrated in the wholeness of you it will be. I'm saying this because there's a rumor out there that it's all about getting high. And maybe it was, 40 years ago, but now it's all about getting real. And in that connection with what is here, what is present, what is real, notice how Pierzia talks about that your root going deep into the earth. It's because when you are really linked in here, you can also really link in there. And there becomes no here and there, it's just part of a continuum that you move your attention and you're in another experience of the wholeness of yourself. Okay, so I said something big. Yeah. Yeah, so let's do it. Okay, and I want to remind you that when I say let's do it, I'm saying, now I'm going to give you a sequence of things that you can do one after another that could work to be useful to you. If it's too much, stop and just remember. If you get to a place and I'm saying something and you thinking, oh, this would work better for me if I do it this way, then do it that way. Interpret what I'm saying, because each of us is unique. And it's just like me not knowing what Hamayat meant when he said light and life of breath. Until I learn to interpret that to just a finer energy on the spectrum of vibration, which was what worked for me at the time, it had no meaning at all. Okay, did everyone hear me say not to do too much? Isn't it interesting that I'm talking about grounding and I say don't do too much? Okay, so you feel your feet on the ground. And we'll stop everywhere along this process so you can check, oh, is there something that I want to go back to later and be present to? or offer on that altar, or work with in some other way that we've talked about, okay? You feel your feet on the ground, be aware of your spine. For some people, you actually feel that there's an extension from your spine going into the earth, reaching down to the heart of the earth. For other people, that makes no sense. And it might be that you just say to yourself, okay, in the way that's right for me, I'm willing to be connected. And let it be enough. Trying does not work. Trying is a way to not do it. So we feel our connection. And now turn to the belly. Just being present to the belly. We know that there's an energy center there, a chakra, a latifa. Offering it a kind glance. Remembering that I'm also connected to the source, however you're calling that name of the source of God. If you notice anything in this region that's calling to you, you can let it be touched by blessing. If it's helpful, you can put your hands there. Remember, more is not better. Just let it be touched, and when you're done, you're done. If your way is to almost touch it, that's good enough. Just know it's there. Letting it heal. Dissolve, transform over time. And we move to the heart, also being aware of the depth of the heart, that deepest part of it, the solar plexus. Gently letting that divine source offer a blessing to that region, a healing touch. Perhaps there are things that are draining away down into the earth, compost for the planet, delicious nutrition. Perhaps that touch of blessing from above or beyond is useful, relaxing, transforming. You might even be aware of that infinite space at the depth of the heart where new potential arises into your being. Don't try to figure it out. If it's new potential, you have no understanding of it yet. It's just emerging as a grace. And you could wonder, how is this going to offer just what I need in my life? If there's a place in this region of the heart and the solar plexus that gets your attention, if it's useful, be present to it. If it's helpful, you can ask that divine source. to offer it a touch of healing, transformation, love, something else. And when you're ready, move to the throat, still knowing that you are connected above and below, roots in the earth, leaves in the heavens, and the sun beyond offering its blessing. A healing touch to the throat. It works so hard making voice, chewing, eating, communicating. You might even feel that your center of communication is being upgraded in some way. And if there's something in that region of the throat that gets your attention very lightly, you could be present to it, moving over and letting that divine presence also offer it a touch of healing. Letting the roots, the belly, the heart and solar plexus, the throat, all of those areas begin to move towards an experience of harmony and ease with each other. Don't push them. Let them move over time. Just knowing it's happening is enough. And turn to the third eye and the pituitary and pineal, the hypothalamus, all those glands in the head that regulate your life. And also the eyes, with a very fine breath. Letting them somehow be eased, finding balance. Letting them be transformed without needing to understand anything. And if there's some place, a location inside of your head that gets your attention, you can just be present to it, moving over, letting that divine source touch that location. A flow of love. Not trying to make anything happen. And letting the third eye, the hormonal centers in the head, the energetic centers also begin to align, to come into congruence and ease with the throat, the heart and solar plexus, the belly, the root. And if you care to, you can allow yourself to reconnect with that source. Letting the whole of your being rest in the divine presence. While you are here, living in this magical body, this body, heart, soul continuum, this body, mind, heart, soul continuum. So feel your feet on the ground and perhaps be open to them connecting with the earth in a new way. Be aware of your spine and your heart. Feel the texture of the air touching you. Be aware of sound. And as you open your eyes, let yourself see in a new way. You may have discovered that there are things to do, that you have work, and that's okay. You may have found that there are things that made no sense, and that's okay. You may have realized that there's something there that you didn't notice before, and that's okay. That's why it's called the path. It's not called the end of the path. Are there any questions? Yes.
Is that part of the other timeline that you're talking about as well?
What do you
because
mean?
Because when you're connecting the lataif this way, and then I think I thought about this time
heart horizontal line, yes,
coming in. It occurred to me that the body is part of that timeline, and it's like here you're working with the body in this grounding process, but.
Yes, I think that the reason that the timeline doesn't go through the body is because it's much easier to heal from the subtle levels filtering into the body than in some things than the body. If you have something urgent in your body, don't ignore it. Take care of it. Go to the doctor, deal with whatever it is. If you're concerned that you might, go and check it out instead of wasting all of that energy worrying. And if this isn't about a current thing that you realize I need to work on my the whole of my trajectory into the past and into the future, then work outside the body. This is still the energetic part of the body, but we're working more using the tools of the mind and the subtle aspects of breath. Now, I'm saying these words, and I hope they don't make it seem dramatic or otherworldly, because I'm talking about something very functional and real. But yes, we don't work in the body for this practice. I asked Pirvalayat, and he said, it's much harder to start from the level of the mind. It's easier when you start from a more subtle place and then let it filter. From the body, it's better to start at a more subtle place, and it when you transform the mind, it affects the body. Because you're transforming the blueprint of yourself. This is why we have practices like seeing the perfect master walking towards you. Does everyone know that practice? If you don't, I have great homework for you. So go out and imagine that you're sitting in a field somewhere or the perfect environment where you can look off. And you see, imagine that you see this master, this perfect being walking towards you. And there's something about their walk and something about their presence, but you can't quite see their face. And they come closer and closer and closer to you. And the closer they come, you realize more things about them, that they're something about their, oh, they're so beautiful, or look at the strength or the mastery or all the qualities that this great being is embodying as they get closer and closer and closer and closer, but you just can't make out their face. And then finally, they come right up to you and look up and you see your own face. It's a beautiful practice. Yeah. Yes.
Question, if I may. So I'm curious if this might be a similar thing. So in a lot of the work that I've done with sound healing, I kind of came across a technique that I just kind of stumbled upon with the tuning forks. And I have forks that are tuned to the different chakras. And I'll have somebody lay on a, you know, like a massage table. And I'll work over the chakra from this area kind of maybe 4 or 5 feet out, and I find that it's a timeline over each chakra. It almost seems like the farther away is birth and the closer is more recent. And I can move the tuning fork and catch a variance somewhere. And if I know the person's 40, say I'm working with the throat chakra and then right around the middle starts to kind of dud out or something, just questions just come up intuitively. Have you had any issue around your 20s where you weren't able to speak your mind, or you were trying to speak a truth, or someone silenced you, or, oh yeah, you know, and then you find all these variances within all the different timelines kind of hidden in each chakra, but that's all done outside the body. Would that be a similar phenomenon to this practice? Or
when I hear you talk about it, what it sounds to me is like you have found a vehicle that allows you to use your intuition to offer healing to people. And if it's working, go for it. Yeah. Why not? Okay, we've actually gone beyond again. I played some music for you. Is there anything else that we need to talk about before we close? Everybody's been so quiet today. Yes.
All of us, looking out the window.
Oh, the sun.
Yes, and bringing the sun.
Yeah, isn't that a great practice?
Light and life of the
yeah,
sun.
Yeah, isn't that fabulous?
Sending love out.
Yeah.
Yes,
and I can give you a further advanced practice of that sun one if you like it. So you go to the window, or you go outside. Really, the practice is to go outside. And you have to obviously not be in a place where you're looking directly into the sun, but you look towards the sun, and you let the you are breathing in, and as you're breathing in, you say any invocation that's meaningful to you. You know, any invocation, and then as you breathe it out as love. 11 times. Yes. And if you remember in giving that practice, I said that you will have an effect as far as your sphere of influence. And this is why another reason we work with the breath. And so if you feel that your breath doesn't have an effect very far away, come and see me and I'll give you a practice for that. I just don't want to go to the point where we miss Pirzia. So I'm going to play another piece of music. I played a music that was like designed to send you into the universe before. And now I'll play a piece of music that's designed to bring you back. I'm encouraging everyone here to think about the music that's meaningful to you. Well, okay. This is not so far back that we're wild things because, you know, Pierzia is going to go soon. And you don't have to sit here until it's over. It's just a gift. It's up to you.